And welcome back to Coast, John D'Souza with us. We're going to take calls as well. By the way, John had mentioned that he had said John Podesta had passed on. He is still alive and kicking. He's 72 years old, former political consultant to Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. And we just wanted to clear that up. But we'll be back in a moment with calls and more as we talk about disclosure on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. John D'Souza with us. We'll get to your calls as well. John, why do you think they picked the UFO episodes as the impetus to start this campaign?
Because UFOs have been in the public consciousness since 1947 in a very strong way. And it has always engendered two areas, two forces of emotion. One, it has engendered great hope for humanity and great desire for brotherhood and elevation and all the positive things. But on the other side, it has also engendered fear and terror and panic on the parts of people as well. And they know that. They know that. So that's why they thought that this was a perfect area to try to seize control, get a hold of a bunch of super weapons, and to get the public tapped in to the lizard brain of fear and really, really ratchet that up so that they could get a lot of other things accomplished as well through this. So that is the reason why they are pushing this forward with so much animus, so much power and so much kinetic energy that they are using to push this forward. But, you know, they keep giving themselves away when they, now that the report is supposed to be coming out on June 25th, they're giving away the fact that they are very nervous about it. And you see, there's quotes, for instance, Christopher Mellon the other day said, the challenge now will be getting the myriad DOD and intelligence community components with pertinent information to cooperate, to put together, and then he just went on with some nonsense. He's trying to take attention away from the ATIP. He's doing the hallmarks of crisis actors, deflection, distraction, denial. You have Elizondo actually said the other day, he said, let me remind the Pentagon that the world is watching and will judge them on their action. Wow, a little over the top. A hallmark of crisis actors, again, overly dramatic, self-righteous, and trying to distance themselves from the original con jobs, the ATIP. They're trying to distract, take attention away from the actual ATIP. Because all they have to say at this point is, yeah, let's just have the ATIP reveal all the UFO cases they worked on. Let's just do that. That's it. That's all they need to say. But they can't.
What do you expect with this June 25th report?
I believe they're losing their nerve. I believe they're losing their nerve, and they're just going to basically, and they're going to punt this down the road to give themselves time to think. Time to think and gather their forces and try to figure out a way to produce this stuff when there really is nothing to produce, because I don't believe the ATIP ever had a UFO case that they investigated or looked into. So they're basically just, I believe they're just going to say, well, the only thing we could declassify that we could put out in an unclassified form is all of these, more of these videos, you know. They'll put out more of these videos of Tic Tacs and the super secret weapons testing type stuff. And they'll put out, you know, observations and reports on that sort of thing. But they're not going to put anything out that has to do with actual disclosure, because they don't have anything. They just don't have it.
Let's take some calls. Let's go to Bill in Los Angeles to get us started. Hey, Bill.
Hi, George.
Good to have you with us.
As a former history teacher and former newspaper writer, I share much of John's skepticism about the government statement. But I've got to flag him on a couple things. In addition to the false statement he just made about John Podesta's alleged passing, which is not true, he also falsely claimed a few minutes ago that the government has said, quote, we are not alone. The aliens are here. That is just false. The government, in fact, has said most recently that no evidence suggests the UAPs in the Navy videos are extraterrestrial. He also said nobody has grilled Elizondo. Your own George Knapp has grilled Elizondo at least twice in the last couple of months and done a pretty bang-up job, you know, to get some information out of him. So I'm sorry, John, but you're all over the map, and you're contradicting yourself with these statements saying that the government is trying to scare people, but then they're really going to back off, you know, on June 25th because they don't have anything. It can't be both. It's got to be one or the other.
All right, let's let them react to that. Go ahead, John.
Well, first of all, I didn't say that, Podesta, passed away. What I said was when he was alive. That's what I said. When he was alive, he did these things. So
he's still alive, though, just so everybody knows.
Right. Yeah. All right. So other than that, there is a phrase that has been said, and also there is a phrase that has been said by Elizondo, by several other people who are involved with the Tic Tacs. And the phrase is precisely, it goes, quote, this is proof that we are not alone. That's it. That's the phrase. And they didn't say this proves that UFOs are real. They didn't say this proof, because that's not the point of the phrase. The point of the phrase is to imply something, to push you forward in your thinking about something without actually explicitly stating it. And that phrase has been used by Elizondo and by many others that are involved in this movement, and that has occurred. I forget the other points.
He's correct. Our own George Knapp did interview Luis Elizondo, but he did not ask him if he was a crisis actor. That did not come up.
Yes, I also don't think he asked him. He did not ask him, why did the ATIP disperse in 2012? And I've seen that asked in other places since then. People have come up with the lamest excuse. Whenever I see people trying to cover up something at the government, they say, oh, it was budgetary consideration.
Do you think it disbanded, or do you think it's still going on?
They say they have said that it started up again later after it disbanded. But there's been no information about how it started up again or who is working with it. So I don't tend to give that any credence either. So that would be my answer to the very ruffled caller who disagrees with the points that I make.
Well, then the great part about this show, John, is we let people disagree.
Excellent.
Nothing wrong with
and
that.
That's why I like it.
Let's go to Joe, Long Island, New York. Welcome to the program. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
John, I have two quick questions. One, can interdimensionals hold the fort and pass themselves off as non-interdimensionals? And my second question was, you mentioned the Mockingbird media. Are there secret societies behind that? I just heard someone say that he went through all this media stuff. He never heard the word depression or depressed in reference to people even once. It's like there's a conspiracy not to use certain words at all. How could that be?
Yes. In answer to the first question, I would advise you that extra-dimensionals can pass themselves off as other things. They do not. That's one of the great secrets that I explain in my book, Through Investigations, that real, genuine UFOs and genuine extraterrestrials are not completely physical. They are not completely physical. They can be physical for short periods of time, but they're not permanently physical. And so for that reason, they are a more malleable, I would say, form of life, where they can shift themselves. They can shift themselves. They can become intangible. They can disappear, because they are not completely physical on our plane. And the first place that I found that out was from the FBI, in an FBI document that was declassified in from 1947, which is a document that I always talk about called The Smoking Gun, that was from the FBI and that I talk about, and I also feature in my book, The Extra Dimensionals, as well.
Let's go back for the second question. What? Tell me more, Joe, about the Depression. What's your angle here?
In other words, certain words are never mentioned on the media. The word depression or depressed is never mentioned. So how is this coordinated? In other words, are there orders from top down to just like certain things can't be said or depicted? Like a top-down, you know, who's at the top doing this? Is it secret societies, or who's doing this?
Well, all I know is in the news organizations I've ever worked for, very rarely did anybody from top management come down and say, do this, do that on the air. That just doesn't happen too often. If anything, it's a manager within the news department or the network, the cable network, that does that. I know with this program, John, we've got carte blanche to do what we want to do.
Awesome. That's what I like to hear, George.
And that's important. You've got a seminar coming up. Tell me about that.
Yes, I have a big seminar coming up on July 11th, 2021. And it will be Para-Investigator Training Course. And it will be it's a big one. It's a six-hour course, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And it will be a massive para-investigator training, because we are now living in a time when we have so much deception, and we will be looking at the actual cases across the spectrum of politics, of finances, of culture, everything that's going on right now, everything that is going on with us. And it will be an uncensored look into all of these areas, so it is not for the faint-hearted. You can get tickets through my website, johntamabooks.com, or Portal to Ascension, portaltoascension.org as well.
Okay, we've got your website linked up at Coast to Coast in case anybody wants to make an easy click to get to it. And I'll have you mention this before we're off the air again tonight, John. Let's go next to Jeremy in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, Jeremy, go ahead.
Hello, thank you. I'd like to ask the guest tonight about how this issue relates to how this issue might relate to the transhumanist agenda. Also, the idea that since we've been apparently conditioned for so many years and decades to believe that the UFO issue is mostly bogus and mostly, you know, related to science fiction, and that it's not to be taken seriously, it seems now that they're trying to get us to believe in, you know, the possibility of extraterrestrials, sort of taking advantage. It seems to be they're trying to take advantage of people's suspension of disbelief, and that seems to they seem to be trying to open up our religion. What am I trying to say? They seem to be trying to open us up to more religious suggestion, religious type of suggestion, or cult-like type of believing. You know, they're trying to get us. They're trying to take advantage of our sense of religiosity.
Let's get that one first, John, if you would.
Yeah. I do think they are. It's really amazing how the media has done a complete 180 about faith on UFOs, but only, as the caller pointed out, only in a very limited way, though. It's only in a very limited way. I think it's only pertinent to these particular appearances, these particular cases. Some of which I think we're going to see more of on June 25th in the report. We're going to see a lot more of these tic-tac vehicles, and I think we're going to see the next step in these revelations, which is going to be actual dangerous incidences of harm, of destruction caused by these craft, these tic-tac vehicles, which, by the way, come in the shape of tic-tacs, but they also come in cylinders. They come in various...
Mm-hmm. Triangles, you name it.
Yes, yes, exactly. So I think that's actually what we're going to see in this report that's coming out on June 25th. We're going to see more of these dangerous incidences. And the problem is then they're going to actually paint themselves into a corner, because they're going to have to, at that point, they're going to have to share custody of these investigations with the Air Force and possibly the FBI. Because if you got a national security threat that could be from foreign actors, then they've got it. They're going to have to open it up, and they don't want that. They don't want experienced Air Force investigators looking at this stuff, because they're gonna drill down on this stuff and get down to what it really represents.
I found it strange that the New York Times would jump on that story when they published it about the Tic Tac story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not only did they jump on that story, they're the ones really who started this entire movement, as they have in many ways.
Even, yeah, you know, we've been doing these things for 25-plus years, these kinds of stories. The New York Times does one, and they get all the credit for it.
Right. Not only did they get the credit, they actually mobilized the rest of the media to also start recognizing these incidences as possible. As possible proof that we are not alone.
So true. The New York Times got spoofed today. They yanked an online story where they said that fruit was discovered on the surface of Mars, and they went with it, and then they yanked it real fast. Somebody had sent them a phony story, and they fell for it. Gotta be careful. Since you've been doing, John, how many years you been at this now?
Oh, for many years, George. And really, everything I have done before counts for nothing because this, what's going on right now, this is it. This is the big show. This is the showdown for humanity, where we have this giant black operation that is trying to push humanity towards this terrible, terrible result, which is going to cause a lot of destruction, a lot of destruction. And it's going to result in, like I said, over and over again, fake alien invasion.
If they come public with UFOs and say they're extraterrestrial, your contention is it's immediately going to be, it's a threat, it's a danger, they're abducting people, we need to stop this. Something like that?
Well, that's what they're going to say. Because they have to ratchet up
right
the fear. This is the great UFO fear campaign. That's what it is.
So if it comes with disclosure, it's going to come with a fear-based disclosure.
Well, yeah, they'll have very limited disclosure of the things that are very convenient for their fear campaign. So they will probably show and have disclosure of different destructive incidences that have occurred, and different things where lives and property have been endangered. That's where I think they're going right now, and that's where the next step in this entire giant campaign.
John, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with final questions for you as we talk about disclosure. John D'Souza is with us. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. He's got a seminar coming up in July. All the information is on his website as well. We'll be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM, so don't touch your dial. And we'll be back in a moment with Final Calls with John D'Souza as we talk about disclosure. Next hour, Paul Ramesh joins us to talk about law enforcement and paranormal encounters, so I'm looking forward to that as well. Welcome back to Coast, John D'Souza with us. John, is this a little like the boy who cried wolf? What happens with this false alien invasion hypothesis? And then what happens if a real alien invasion occurs? Nobody will believe us.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting permutation that were to happen, George. But they're not concerned about the syndrome of little boy who cried wolf, because when this report comes out in June 25th, it's very possible that it won't show much of anything.
Right.
But they don't really care, because this is a long term. They're in this for the long haul. And there'll be another report, and then another, and then another. This is going to be going on, and it's not just in the world of politics. It's also in culture as well. And they're going to be going on with this for a very long time. But all they want to do is just ratchet up the fear with every major step that they take in this campaign. So that's not a big ask. They don't need to accomplish very much to do that. So they have so much power behind this campaign with the entire global media behind them that they really don't need to worry about the little boy who cried wolf syndrome becoming a part of this. So they're not concerned about that.
Back to the calls. Michael in Houston, Texas, first-time caller. Hi, Michael. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here. And, yes, I am a first-time caller. I love the show.
Thank you, Michael.
Yes, sir. So my question to you and the guests would be, so there was supposedly like maybe 3 or 4 alien bodies that were recovered in the Roswell crash. Do you guys think that those bodies are still in existence, or do you think they're gone or disposed of? I know they've probably done tests, but what do you guys think?
All right, I'll let you start with that first. John, go ahead.
You know, I believe that those bodies are long gone and consumed with genetic testing and things of that sort. I was an associate of a great scientist for several of the great aerospace companies, a guy named Boyd Bushman, who was a great and very well-known scientist who was well-known for his claims and the evidence that he has provided over the years that he worked on all the technology and all the material and the bodies that came out of Roswell. And I absolutely believe him when he said, I mean, he passed away now. He really did pass away now. But I do believe, I did believe him, and I do believe him that he did work on all those materials. And I do believe that the bodies that were recovered at Roswell have been pretty much consumed by experimentation, genetic experimentation, and other types of experimentation as well.
Interesting. In my take, they probably tried to preserve the bodies as much as they could, but I think you're right. They probably probed them, experimented on them, and they probably just all disintegrated.
Yeah, simple as that.
Next up, Gary, truck driving in West Virginia. Welcome to the show. Hi, Gary.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you.
I believe that technology has advanced to the point to where that with quantum computers that foreign companies have been putting satellites into space, that the ability to hologramically, if you will, project into just like the hacking, the encryption, cybersecurity can be broken within a couple of minutes from a quantum computer, and the lack of contact is possibly propaganda as far as utilizing, putting into different systems the appearance of UFOs into our military planes and this sort of thing, and that the two are connected, that the hacking as well as the frequency lately of the sightings is by the use of quantum computers and entanglement.
John,
Born's theory of entanglement.
What do you think of Gary's thoughts? He might be spot on.
You know, one of the things that that I have been seeing a lot of here around today is that it appears that the military world, especially the black military world, that is about 100 years ahead in technology, in terms of technology, than where civilian society is at this point. And that means that they have devices and they have things, and it's a very compartmentalized world. So we're not we're not exposed to a lot of this very much of the time. But the technology they have that's so far ahead of us is astounding. It's astounding and it's breathtaking when you get little glimpses of it here and there. We need to pass more of that technology into civilian society so that we can all benefit from it. And we can get things that we have not imagined previously. That's what I think.
Why aren't the other countries coming forward with either their own program or false flag?
Jeez, I think that the group that is conducting this particular campaign that I talked about, the Great UFO Fear Campaign, I think they cut across nations. They are not belonging to any one nation. They cut across the spectrum, and they are from everywhere, and so the other nations, in that sense, they are really involved in this movement. That's what I think.
Let's go to Sandy in Ohio, east of the Rockies. Welcome, Sandy. Hi there.
Good morning, Mr. Worgen. Good morning to your guest.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
Hi. I was calling to tell of a sighting that my son and I had in 1975 and get your thoughts on it. We went out into the country to feed my friend's dog. He was going to be away, so I went to feed the dogs. We got the dogs fed, and he didn't have neighbors or anything, and it was kind of out in God's country, but he did have electrical lines, the big kind of transmission lines that have the big high tower go by the house, not too far from the house. And I had parked under those wires to go and feed the dogs because we weren't going to be there very long. Okay, we're about to leave, and we're real close to the car, and this thing that looked like the biggest blimp I ever saw, with no windows, no basket, no nothing, no sound, came down. If I had, and this is a slight exaggeration, but if it had stood on the top of the car, I might have been able to jump high enough to touch it. It was that close.
Wow.
And I told my son, get in the car. And we got in my old Thunderbird, and we hurried on down the highway. And my son jumped in the back seat so he could watch out the rear window. He kept saying, Mommy, it's following us. And when I asked him about that after he was somewhat grown, because he was born in 1966, he didn't remember it. He was 9 when it happened. I remember it clearly, like it was yesterday. It was very frightening to me. And I the hair on my body was standing up all over the whole time. And I got the bright idea that they were down to maybe soak up some electricity off of that transmission line. What do you think?
And some of the electricity could have zapped his memory. What's going on here, John?
This is a phenomena that we hear about very often. But the only thing that really stands out in this report is the vehicle, the craft getting so close to her. If it was literally that close that she could have stood up on top of her car and touched it, I mean, that's very rare. But the forgetfulness after contact with genuine alien visitors, that's a very common phenomenon. As a matter of fact, the real mystery is not that her son forgot about the incident, he put it out of his mind, but how does she remember it? How did that come back to her? Because we see a lot of these people go through these experiences, their memories are completely blanked out. They're blanked out. And they find out about what happened to them through other methods, very often sometimes through a surveillance camera or through somebody else that was around and saw the whole thing go down. So it's just, it's very strange that her son's memory was wiped of this incident, but hers was not. That's what I would say is the biggest mystery here. And she probably knows the answer to that. if she really goes into it and really thinks about it. That's what I would say.
John, we're going to take some final calls here in a moment, but I want you to talk about the seminar once again for people who want to participate.
Oh, absolutely. On July 11th, 2021, I'm having the Parent Investigator Qualification Course, which is going to be a six-hour course. You can get tickets through my website, johntemmelbooks.com, or portaltoascension.org. It's going to be, you know, as we approach the countdown to disclosure and the unraveling of the global medical lockdown, we need more than ever to discern truth for ourselves. And this course is going to be an uncensored, unrestricted dive into all the hidden areas that that our MSM does not want us to look at.
Perfect.
We're just training to be powerful truth finders. That's the most important thing there is, George. And also, George, I would like to say, I would like for your audience, I am having people can buy directly from my site, johntemmelbooks.com, get a 25% discount on my book, The Extra Dimensionals, and also the Para-Investigators for this course. Just get 25% discount using code C2CAM.
Sounds like us.
AM, exactly.
All righty. Let's go to Daniel, truck driving in West Virginia. Get you in here, Dan. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Thank you. Thanks for having my call tonight.
Thank you.
Sosa, thanks for coming on. Hey, so I got a couple things here. So
sure.
I had mentioned last night, like the B-1 bomber, I meant the B-2 Spirit. Looks like a UFO. And when it turns in the sky a certain way, it just looks like a line.
Ah, okay.
I noticed that, like, with technology, we seem to be over 20-plus years ahead in this area. And is it true that we had GPS on Navy ships back in the 1940s before even satellites? And then the last part of my question is this all tied to what the Bible talks about, the end of the age, the great global reset is part of the Antichrist one world system, the one world government control of humanity? Because, you know, man is very sinister, and the Bible says that, you know, in a man's heart, he's always devising evil all the time. And I just look at it, is this like the part of what's coming to be known as the Great Deception, the end of the age?
Is it tied into that, John?
It's possible. It's possible, but, you know, we can find signals of the end of the age in so many things that are going on now and that have been going on for the last few years. So, you know, that's always possible. But as to what's going on naval ships in the 1940s, George, that question is for you, because I don't have any idea on that at all.
John, my friend, I got to tell you, I want to get you back to get your reaction to that June 25th announcement, assuming we get the announcement. Do you think it'll come or not?
It might. It might. I'd say there's a 50-50 chance. But there's a chance that they might just put something out just to put it out because they're in chaos right now. They just don't know what to do because they don't have anything to show from the ATIP. They don't have any. So they have to distract and deflect, and they have to put in stuff from other agencies. So they might go with that. They might go with that, or they might not. But I would love to, whatever happens, I would love to come back on, George, and discuss it and show people exactly what they're doing.
Well, absolutely. And do you expect any surprises here?
No, the only surprise will be what I told people I am expecting, which is I expect them to go to the next step in this operation, which is to show destructive patterns and destructive behavior from these tic-tacs, from these crafts that they are saying are, that they are implying are extraterrestrial UFO vehicles.
All right, my friend. John, thanks again for being on the program. Do keep in touch. And one more time, give out your website to folks, if you would.
Yes, my website is johntemmelbooks.com. Or people can just Google my name, John D'Souza, D-E-S-O-U-Z-A. And Google tells me people find me through that. And I would like people to just buy directly from my site, my book, The Extra Dimensionals, and get 25% discount using code C2C.
A.M. Super. John, thanks again for being on the program. Up next, we're going to talk about fingerprints and phantoms, true tales of law enforcement encounters with the paranormal and the strange, all that and much more just ahead on Coast to Coast AM We will be right back.